Morning. We are continuing our series, The Last Words of Christ. Today we come to the third word that Jesus spoke while he was on the cross. The first word was a prayer to his Father in heaven. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. The second word, Jesus spoke to a criminal, a terrorist, a man who acknowledged at the end of his life that Jesus is the true King and Messiah. And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Paradise, the garden of the King, paradisos. And now today we come to the third word that Jesus spoke from the cross. And so I invite you in your Bibles to turn to John chapter 19. And in John chapter 19, beginning in verse 23, we see the third time that Jesus spoke from the cross. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to decide whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, "They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now here's what I want you to notice especially. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold."
He felt their hurts, their needs. And so many times he would stop. And right there in the midst of the masses, he'd minister to the individual. We were always trying to rush him. We thought we were protecting him. We just didn't understand. And then, on that day, as he hung there, he looked at me. And it just caught me off guard. He suffered so much. I can't describe it. And he looked down at me. And in the midst of his pain, he had to take care of one more person. He said, "Take care of my mom." He called me brother. I loved him like a brother. And for that moment, that's where we were. Mary buried her head in my chest. And she just wept. And I looked up at him and I nodded. A little later, he breathed his last. To open the door so that everyone could be a part of the family.
You know, it's interesting to consider that of the seven last words that Jesus spoke when he was on the cross, not one of those first three concerned himself. Each of the first three times that he spoke, Jesus' concern was for others. Remember the first word he devoted to his murderers. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And the second word was devoted to the thief hanging next to him. Truly today you'll be with me in paradise. And then we see the third time that Jesus speaks. Words directed to his mother and to his dearest and best friend, John. Woman, behold your son. And to John, behold your mother. Every time I come to these holy words in this pinnacle of Scripture, I cannot help but imagine what it would have been like to be there. And I don't think it would have been lost on me that even then Jesus was more concerned about others than himself. And then I think, you know, as a pastor, a Christian, a husband, a father, you know, when I put other people's needs ahead of my own, I am imitating Christ in a powerful way. Have you ever thought about that? That when you put others ahead of yourself, even in a time of your own personal great need and struggle, when you're able to do that, you are following the example of Christ. So dads, when you come home after a hard day at work and the first thing your child asks you to do is to join them maybe in playing ball outside or sitting down and playing a video game with them or something like that, do you realize that you're more like Jesus in that moment when you do that instead of going to that chair and just going, oh, like you want to? Moms, when you're up early and you're making those lunches for those kids that are about to head out the door for school, and you'd lots rather be sitting there quietly at the table, undisturbed with your morning cup of coffee, as you're still trying to recover from doing laundry late in the night so that those kids would have something clean to wear to school, and they don't even say thank you. Yet you're there being a servant to them. Do you realize, moms, you're more like Jesus in that moment than you might think? When you put your family's needs ahead of your own, you're imitating Christ. But you know, sometimes as a parent, you find yourself in a situation where you see someone in your family hurting and you wish you could do something, anything to help them in their time of need. Like maybe your kid's being bullied at school and you would love to be able to put on their skin and go to school in their place that day and deal with that bully, but you can't. Or maybe it's some other situation that's hurting your kid. And in that moment, there's nothing you can do except just be near them, be with them as they go through the pain. Imagine the kind of emotions that had to be present in Mary, Jesus' mom, standing there watching her son be torturously executed. Watching him suffer, and there's not one thing she can do about it. Imagine if it was your kid up on the cross. What would be going through your heart and mind in those moments? Look back at the text of John 19, 23 through 27. Look at what the soldiers are doing. The very clothes that you sold for your son, they're stealing and gambling over them. You're not alone. You've got a few close friends with you, your sister and a few other ladies and one of Jesus' followers, a very young one. I can't imagine what was going through her mind. Everything from horror, grief, heartache like none of us in this room have ever felt, even thoughts of wanting revenge probably went through her mind. What overwhelming emotion. But notice, as Mary is there in pain, she is not alone. There are some friends, some family that are with her. Think for a moment of times in your life where you've been through pain and heartache. Do you have some friends who will stand with you no matter what kind of horrible situation you are in? No matter where you are, do you have some friends that will stand with you even if they can't help, but just endure with you? If you can think of those times and those friends, you'll understand this. God never meant life to be lived in isolation. So here in this scene from John's Gospel, we have this hurting mama not suffering alone. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Focus in on those words in John 19, 25. But standing by the cross. Standing by. The Greek word for standing by is one you know. It's the Greek word para. We get our English word parallel from this word. It means to be alongside, to walk beside, to stand beside, but it's the idea of being beside you. You know, it's one of my prayers that as a church, as a body of believers, that we would be a group who would parallel our lives with those that God has brought to us. That we would intentionally walk alongside, stand alongside, sit alongside with others in their life, especially when they don't need to be alone. You know, we as Baptists, we are real big on this concept of what we call the priesthood of the believer. And the first aspect of that means that we don't need a mediator other than Jesus Christ to get to God. And you don't need a human priest to communicate to God on your behalf. You can talk directly to God, and God can talk to you directly through His Spirit and His Scriptures. And you don't need a priest to tell you what God thinks. The Holy Spirit can do that. And so we're big on that. But there's another part of being a priest that we often overlook. And a big part of being a priest is the concept of being with. The reason why Jesus is our high heavenly priest is because he is the one who is always with us. Well, if we have this concept of what we know as the priesthood of the believers, then that means that God has designed me in a way that I can be a priest, someone who comes alongside others in life. I may not be able to fix their problem, but I can be them. Now, what does that mean to be a priest among people? Does that mean that you wear your collar backwards and you dress in black and you say your prayers in a special kind of way and you have to be a pastor or a priest in some church? No, not at all. What it simply means is that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been born again and God has placed you into the lives of people all around you so that through you, He can work out His purposes for them. You are with them on His behalf. Do you remember what Jesus said in John 5:17? He said, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Jesus is saying that the Father in heaven and He is always at work in this world and in the lives of everybody. So, isn't it good to know that Jesus is at work in your life? I like that. Thank you, Father, that you didn't just create me and place me on this ball spinning out into space and say, "Well, good luck." He's with me. But just as He is with you, He is with everybody, trying to work. Some who have come to Him, He is working out the process of their salvation. For others, He is wooing and pleading them that they would come and be saved. So just as Jesus is at work in you, He is also at work with your neighbors, your co-workers, your friends, the person you meet on the street. And in the middle of this work, God calls us to join Him in His purpose, to be alongside them in their place that they live, the place where they work, the place where they go to school. I'm amazed that God knows the place where I'm going to live now, and He knew it before I was born. The person I might meet today for the first time, God knew before the world was ever created that that person and I were going to cross paths. God knew that you and I were going to be with those people who live in our neighborhoods, with those people that we work with those people that we might go to school with each day. Now, why am I emphasizing this witness? It's because, folks, sometimes it's less about our witness than it is about our witness. Think about it. In fact, oftentimes you'll find our best witness is our witness. Yes, I made up a word. To be a witness, you must have witness. So as we're thinking about this idea of being with other people, having a witness, how many non-church people are you doing life with? How many? I want you to, as I'm preaching, I want you to, right at this moment, I want you to start thinking of faces that you do life with that are not believers, that are not in church. What's your witness? How many people that live around you are you doing life with? I'm going to give you a warning. This is going to sound so weird coming from a pastor's mouth in a sermon. Be careful not to fill all your time up and your calendar up with activities that are only for church people at the church, and being so busy with church stuff that it leaves no time for you to be with your neighbors and your co-workers and others in their lives. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not saying that it's bad to have church activities and Bible studies and fellowships and all those things. No, that's not what I'm saying. Those are good things, and we need those things. But what I am saying is that God has placed us on this planet for purposes that go beyond than just being together with those who are like us. We need to spend time having a witness with those who live near us, those we work with. You know, God didn't place you in your home and your neighborhood just so you could have a place to sleep when you're not working and paying your taxes and other things. No. He's brought you into contact with them. He put you on your street. He brought you there to be a priestly presence to them. And you know what? You are just as usable as any pastor, as any missionary, any priest who might serve in a church. It was this idea that caused Peter to write in 1 Peter 2:9 these words. But you are a chosen race. And look at this. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A people for his own possession. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The purpose of God placing you where he's placed you in your life, just like Esther, for such a time as this, is to be a priest, a royal priesthood, to proclaim the excellencies of the Master who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But you can't be a priest if you're not with people. Again, as we look back to Jesus on the cross that day, it's interesting to notice who was with Jesus there. John tells us we got four women and one guy. Where's the other 11 of those who are still alive at this point? They're hiding. Only John's there. Do you know why those guys were hiding? They figured there was a cross with their name on it too. They didn't want the Romans to see them as a threat. So how could John be there safely? Well, we know John was the youngest of the apostles. He was actually a very young teenager. He was probably still in peach fuzz on his face. He didn't have whiskers yet. Because of his age, he was still considered to be a boy. Not very threatening. The women, they could be there. Why? Well, They're not very threatening either, are they? And John tells us that while they were there on the cross, that Jesus makes eye contact with his mother, Mary, first, and with John, then second. When he saw his mother, he sees his mother standing there, and this disciple whom Jesus loved, and he says, "Woman, behold your son." And he says to John, "Behold your mother." You know, as Mary's there, I can't help but think that the words of old Simeon echoed in her heart. It's read at the beginning of our service in Luke chapter 2. Simeon, upon seeing infant Jesus presented in the temple as accustomed to the law, Simeon blesses them and says to Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed." And then Simeon said to Mary, "And a sword will pierce through your own soul also." That's what she was experiencing. This special child that she loved so much, a sword was piercing her soul. I'm going to speak to the moms for a second. Hey, moms, do you ever feel like a sword is piercing your soul because of what your kid might be going through? If you do, remember that your church family's meant to be with you. And what happened for Mary on that day is true for you on this day. Jesus is calling other folks to come, be with you in the middle of your pain. Can you not marvel at the sensitivity of Christ? Racked with so much torture and suffering, and yet his heart is for his mom and making sure she's taken care of. Now, men, dads, sons, I'm going to talk to you guys today now too. Take a close look at Jesus in this moment on the cross and consider something. Jesus refused to let his personal agonies distract him from the practical duties of being a good and faithful son. We too, as men, at times have to move past the pain and suffering we're going through and be a man like Jesus demonstrated on that day. Think how different our society would be if we had some men like that. Even when you feel like life has just strung you up in pain, be faithful to do the right thing for your family. Dads, be honest. Sometimes it feels like kids are sucking the life out of you, doesn't it? And at the same time, you might be taking care of your aging parents as well. And that temptation to just say, this is too much, overwhelms you. Be faithful to do the right thing for your family. Men, let me encourage you. When you're doing what you can to keep your mortgage current, keep yourself employed, and you're realizing that, I'm not going to be a millionaire at age 50. And I'm not going to be able to retire and do what I want at the time I wanted to. Hang in there. Be faithful. Do the right thing for your family. When the life you pictured is a lot different than the life you are living, remember this truth that Jesus demonstrated on the cross. I will have considered this a message well preached, men, if you get this message. Our pain does not absolve us from our responsibilities. What Jesus did on the cross, before he ever went on to say, "It is finished," was to make sure that his family was taken care of before he died. He made sure that his mama was going to be in good hands and her needs would be provided for before he breathed his last breath on the cross. So Jesus calls on his young and dear friend John. John, make sure that Mary has a roof over her head, that her needs are taken care of, and that she is protected. Jesus knew that in a corrupt and wicked, cruel society in which he lived, that an older widow woman was in danger. And he wanted to make sure that her vulnerability was covered. He wasn't going to leave this world until he made sure that his family was provided for. Another place you don't expect a pastor to go on a Sunday morning, but I'm going to go there because it's, I think we have the example from Jesus here. Men and women, if something happened, don't you love it when somebody says, "If something happens," they mean if you die, right? If you die sooner than you would expect, would your family be taken care of on that day? Do you have a will? Do you have papers drawn up? Does your family know where those things are? Have you instructed your family what to do on that day? If you're getting on up there, have you established power of attorney? Have you got your estate in order? What would happen if you were in the hospital and you were in a medical condition where you could not communicate? Do they know your wishes? Don't make your family guess. Take care of all those things before that time comes. All right? That's what Jesus did. There's a curious verse that really drives this home. And it's John 19:28. The text we read ends at verse 27. If you look at verse 27, "Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' From that hour the disciple took her into his own household." Now look at verse 28. Verse 28 tells us that when Jesus knew that his mom was taken care of, the next verse says, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. That's the New Living Translation. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. The last thing he did before he breathed his last for his mission to be completed was making sure that those he loved in his family, that they were taken care of. And I want you to see that this is a beautiful picture of the character and nature of our God. His mission to save this world from sin and death, from Satan and hell, was not complete until his family was taken care of. That's how God wants you to love your family. You have been given a mission in this world to be a priest, to help rescue those from sin and death and hell. But that's an incomplete mission if your family's needs are neglected. May we live in such a way that we value our families and our relationships and follow this example of Jesus. Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. Let's pray.